Hello, my name is Brian Novoshevsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we're joined by Michael Murphy, Assistant Professor of Clinical Pharmacy at The Ohio State University College of Pharmacy. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Brian. Like you said, I serve as an Assistant Professor at Ohio State, but also serve as the Senior Advisor for Stakeholder Affairs at the American Pharmacists Association. So really looking forward to the conversation here.
Awesome. Yeah. Today, we're really going to be discussing pharmacy deserts in the U.S. More specifically, we'll be tapping into Michael's expertise as he provides insights from his research on the issue, exploring how pharmacy deserts are being defined, why they're so important, and how they're being addressed. So, Michael, to start, what is the current state of pharmacy deserts in the U.S., and what direction is this trend headed in?
Yeah, of course. So I want to start off by just making sure that it's clear, because I feel like when we talk about this issue, we talk a lot about pharmacists and pharmacies. But it's really important that we make sure that it's well understood that this is not a pharmacy problem. This is a community problem. This is a problem that moms and dads face, that members of your community face, to just get access to their medications. So while this is an issue impacting pharmacies and pharmacists, I really want to make sure it's clear that this is a patient issue in making sure that they have access to medications in a local, accessible, and convenient way. And what's really concerning is that pharmacy deserts are growing, and they're growing quickly. Now, nearly 1 in 7 Americans are living in an area with limited access to a pharmacy. And that's typically in an area like a rural or low-income area or a historically underserved area. So we see folks that are at higher socioeconomic risk are at higher risk of living in a pharmacy desert, which means you have lower access to your medications and to the medical advice of a pharmacist. A few recent studies have come out that are showing and really exemplifying how quickly we're seeing this change occur. So a recent study showed between 2010 to 2021, nearly 30% of pharmacies nationwide closed. And then just in Ohio, where I'm located, we've seen a 19% drop in retail community pharmacies since 2015. So this is an issue that is really impacting all corners of our country and is really concerning to see so many patients across the country lose access to that trusted healthcare professional and the convenient, accessible way that they access their medications.
It's definitely a dire situation in pharmacy right now. And I agree with that differentiation between patients and the pharmacies themselves, because obviously this is very overarching as far as dispensing medications and providing care. Getting into kind of the weeds of pharmacy deserts. So with debates between drive time, mileage, and adequate transportation in specific locales, do you believe that there are issues around the way that we define pharmacy deserts?
Yeah, so I think there's a concern that we don't see a universal definition for what a pharmacy desert is. And that's challenging because if you're talking to a state lawmaker or a federal lawmaker or just a member of the public, when you say pharmacy desert, it may mean something different. And one of the things that we've seen that you just highlighted in your question is that the different definitions may mean different things depending on where you are geographically located in the U.S. So one of the common ways that pharmacy deserts may be quantified is by saying, okay, if you live in this location, you're this far away from a pharmacy via a straight line, you're in a pharmacy desert. But we know that's not how people travel from location, you know, A to location B. You have to take a road, and depending on, you know, where you are in the country, you may have different levels of accessibility to that pharmacy and how you can actually travel to that pharmacy. It may be local transport or public transport, or it may be a car. And especially for me, I live out in the country in rural Ohio. You know, not all of our roads are paved and not all members of my community have cars. So we're very lucky that we have a local independent community pharmacy here in town that people have access to and they can probably walk to. But if that were to close, the next closest pharmacy is 20 minutes away. That's going to be, you know, maybe 10 miles straight line, but it's going to be at least 20 minutes to get there. That's one of the important reasons that we need to have some more dynamic discussion about how we are actually defining pharmacy deserts to make sure that they're taking into consideration where people live and how they travel and how they can actually transport themselves to the pharmacies to get access to medications and clinical care.
Awesome. Yeah, I think the drive time, the mileage, that transportation aspect is a good example of that, how the community kind of has to put themselves together and really tackle this issue. Definitely moving around here, this issue impacts a lot of different stakeholders within pharmacy. How have pharmacy deserts impacted pharmacists specifically or their ability to provide clinical services?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, pharmacists are deeply embedded in their communities, especially pharmacists that have been in a community for a long period of time. They know their patients. They have long-standing patient-provider relationships. And when you lose access to that pharmacist because that pharmacy closes, patients lose out on lots of different patient care opportunities that that pharmacist could be providing to them. So, you know, pharmacies are not just a location to receive your medications. A majority of Americans are receiving immunizations at their pharmacies nowadays. Many patients are receiving things like point of care rapid testing if they're feeling sick, to be able to identify whether or not they need to be referred on for additional care to another healthcare professional, or if the pharmacist can actually provide additional care to them right there in the pharmacy. So when those pharmacies are closing, patients are losing access to their medications that can help control their acute and chronic conditions, but they're also losing access to their preventative care, like their vaccinations, or if they're feeling sick, you know, and they need to have a conversation with that local healthcare professional, the pharmacist isn't there anymore. And that can be really challenging, especially for rural or underserved areas where, I'll use, for example, Alaska, there might be a local independent pharmacy in an area that's serving a small town, but the next closest healthcare professional might be 3 or 4 hours away. So that patient might face a really challenging situation if they're feeling sick. Do I make the investment to drive 4 hours away to receive care because I've lost access to this trusted healthcare professional? It's just really unfortunate to see it happening across the country.
With the situation right now, it's obviously elsewhere in pharmacy, you kind of see their roles expanding, but with pharmacy deserts increasing, kind of that intersection, that course needs to be corrected. So I think that's a good segue to kind of look toward the future, more specifically toward legislation. Many experts believe that PBM reform could be a major catalyst in correcting the trajectory of pharmacy deserts. Do you agree with this sentiment, or do you believe that other concerted efforts are needed to improve pharmacy sustainability?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, I think it's important for us, whenever we see a problem or a disease, we got to diagnose what's causing this problem or this disease. And the reason that we're seeing pharmacy deserts close across the country is because there is a business failure in community pharmacy. That's not the community pharmacy's fault. It is because we've seen over the past several years a significant decline in pharmacies being able to generate revenue when they dispense medications to their patients. Commonly, when pharmacies dispense medications, they're paid by pharmacy benefit managers who are subcontractors of your health insurance plan. They're paid for both the medication and also for their professional service to review the safety and effectiveness of the medication to make sure it's safe for you to take. And what we've seen over the past several years is that for both the medications and for that professional service, pharmacy benefit managers have not been paying pharmacies oftentimes at a rate that they can break even, let alone make a profit. So if you're dispensing a prescription to a patient and you're taking a loss, you can only do that so many times before your business fails. And that's the exact situation that we're seeing across the country. From large chain pharmacies that are filing for bankruptcy and are closing across the country to small independents, we're seeing this business failure propagate across the country. And that's really the big reason. So we need our state and federal policymakers to enact pharmacy benefit manager reform policies to ensure that pharmacies are being paid at minimum what they need in order to sustain their businesses. Otherwise, the unfortunate situation is we're going to continue to see pharmacies close and patient outcomes are going to suffer. Policymakers' constituents are going to suffer if they don't take action. So we need both state and federal policymakers to act in order to rectify the concerning situation that we're seeing across the country. There are other policies to consider, though, as well. As we were just discussing, pharmacists provide a lot of additional services to patients, like providing immunizations, test and treat services, and in some states, pharmacists can prescribe for a variety of medications, like hormonal contraceptives, HIV pre-exposure prophylaxis, or post-exposure prophylaxis. But oftentimes, health insurance plans don't recognize those services as a reimbursable service provided by the pharmacist. So we also need policymakers at the state and federal level to pass legislation that recognizes pharmacists as providers and allows for the reimbursement of those services so that pharmacists can provide services to those patients and patients are allowed to use their health insurance to receive those services as a covered benefit. So we got to focus on both sides of the equation to make sure that, you know, we keep those pharmacy doors open. And when patients want to receive additional patient care services by their pharmacist, that they can receive those services and use their insurance too.
So you touched on some of those policy considerations, and I kind of wanted to dive a little deeper into that. So in your article on the growing crisis of pharmacy deserts, you presented multiple policy considerations. Can you kind of just touch on those and maybe bring up some solutions that you think could have most significant impact?
Yeah, of course. So I think that we already hit on, you know, two of the big components of it, which is PBM reform, but also ensuring that patients are allowed to use their health insurance to receive care provided by pharmacists. But something else that I think that we really need to be encouraging our policymakers to think about is when a community pharmacy closes, especially in a rural or underserved area, what is the incentive for another pharmacy to open in that area? And if there isn't additional incentives, there's concern that that community may just become a pharmacy desert forever. So one of the policies that we encourage in our article, Dr. Jen Rodas and I from Ohio State University encourage in our article, is for policymakers to think about how are we incentivizing the behaviors that we want to see out in the business community. And if we see concern with having more pharmacy deserts in specific locations, how can we incentivize more pharmacies to open in those areas? That could be accomplished a variety of ways. That could be done through state-sponsored grants to encourage and help support the opening of businesses in those locations. It could also come knowing that many of those areas may have higher Medicaid populations. Are there opportunities to potentially leverage supplemental dispensing fees for Medicaid beneficiaries so that when pharmacies are providing care and providing medications to underserved, vulnerable members of our community, there's a more of an incentive for them to open in those areas where there's higher numbers of Medicaid beneficiaries. So there's lots of different ways that you can try to pull the levers to try to showcase that there's a financial incentive there. But that's one thing that we need to be thinking about in addition to things like PBM reform and payment for pharmacist services to ensure that we are seeing pharmacies reopen in those locations where we're seeing these pharmacy deserts spread across the country right now.
Do want to look toward the future because obviously things can be overcome. So amid increased pharmacy deserts, the reining in of PBMs and so much more ongoing right now, do you believe that the pharmacy industry as a whole is at a turning point? And if so, where do you think it ends up in the near future, especially in regard to pharmacy deserts?
I read this idea one time in a book, From Good to Great, and it really resonated with me. And it was an idea that in order for us to move forward, to progress, we have to accept our current reality. We have to really take stock of where we are now, and then we can identify what we need to do to move forward. So where we are right now as the pharmacy profession, we are at an inflection point. We are at a critical juncture. And we can go in one of two directions. We can continue to see pharmacies close and patients will have challenging situations. But I believe pharmacists, pharmacies, and patients can effectively advocate to our policymakers at the state and federal level. And we can get the reforms passed that we need to see happen to ensure that we are working within our healthcare system, not to put profits from big organizations and companies over the lives of patients, and ensure that our local healthcare establishments like pharmacies are able to stay open and continue to serve the patients in their community. So I hope in the next couple of years that we see those policies pass and get adopted so that we stop seeing pharmacy deserts continue to expand across the country and we start seeing more pharmacies, especially in those underserved areas, start to reopen and provide those additional patient care services that patients are really coming to appreciate and admire that their pharmacists can provide. So while I might feel a little bit pessimistic at times right now, I've got a really positive approach on where I think that the pharmacy profession is going to go here in the next few years. It's just going to take a lot of individuals advocating for the changes that they want to see.
Definitely agree there, and we'll definitely be keeping our eyes on it. It seems like it's going in the right direction, but we'll obviously see. So I really appreciate you taking the time today, Mike.
Yeah, and thank you for covering this issue and helping to get the word out. This is the only way that we're going to see that change occur.